And I will begin. Verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had a sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but God which raises the dead, who deliver us from so great a death, and thus deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Altogether now, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. That's only a warm-up. Let us also turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 10, and let us also read it responsively. And I shall begin. Verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth, such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, than that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Altogether, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. A stressed man was desperately late for an important appointment as he drove into the basement car park of the large office building. He jumped out of his four-door sedan and then opened the back door to get his briefcase. Just then, an attendant came up and explained to him that this was a self-parked car park and he would have to park it himself. As he was already feeling stressed, he quickly jumped back into the car, rolled down the window and said, Okay, which way do I go? The attendant leaned in the window and said, Up the ramp to your right, sir, but first you have to get into the front seat. Here is a commentary on stress, first published in the Saturday Evening Post, 1949. This is the age of the half-read page, and the quick hash and the mad dash, the bright night with the nerves tight, the plane hop and the brief stop, the lamb tan in your short span, the big shot in a soft spot, and the brain strain and the heart pain, and the cat naps till the spring snaps, and the fun is done. Stress happens, and God allows it. But why does God allow stress in the first place? This very good question must be answered. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11, and chapter 12, verses 1 to 10, we find six reasons for God allowed stress. So let us examine each in turn, one by one. The first reason for God allowed stress is Roman numeral 1, comfort of others. Comfort of others. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 3, that God is the God of all comfort. Having stated that God is our comforter, Paul did not want us to think that believers can do nothing to comfort and encourage fellow believers. Thus, Paul explained in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 4, that God comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. This is the ministry of comfort. It just may be the most unwelcome of ministries. As far as comfort as a ministry is concerned, this first reason is the most significant one. John Berger, the principal, encountered a ninth grade boy walking out of room 209 with a sour expression on his face. The concerned principal asked the boy, "And how are we today?" The boy replied, "Awful. I don't understand all that stuff the math teacher wants us to learn. All those logarithms and postulates and stuff." The principal said smoothly and comfortingly, "Well, I'm sure we can't find it all that bad, can we?" The boy huffed back, "Well, sure, we can say that. Because the you half of we doesn't have to learn that stuff with the me half of we." This may sound funny, but it reveals an important point. It is difficult to encourage others who are going through severe trials if we haven't gone through those same trials. Paul's teaching is straightforward. The believer in pain receives God's comfort. He or she is then in a position to share God's comfort with others who are in pain. We all can and should seek to encourage others who are going through severe trials. But those who have gone through those same trials are often the ones who can be the greatest encouragement and blessing to those in tribulation. John Henry Jowett, a famous preacher, remarked, "God does not comfort us to make us comfortable, but to make us comforters." And Roy Loring said, "Whoever will feel the keenest and serve the best must have his feelings hurt the most." May we welcome the sharing of God's comfort as a ministry to others. The first reason for God allowed stress is comfort of others. The second reason for God allowed stress is Roman numeral 2, consolation from Christ. Consolation from Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 5 is a somewhat difficult verse. It says, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ." What does the sufferings of Christ abound in us mean? Letter A, we have the first view. The first view. One view is that Paul was referring to sufferings that Christians endure because they identify with Christ. Christians in Paul's day, and many sins suffered because of persecution. Letter B, we have the second view. The second view. The second view is that Paul was referring to sufferings that the glorified Christ experiences when Christians suffer. It compares to the saying, "I hurt every time I see a child in pain." And let us see, we have the third view. The third view. The third view is that the expression refers to Christ's sufferings on the cross. This view may be what Paul had in mind in saying that Christ's suffering abound in us, in the sense that we reproduce the benefits of the cross. The problem with this view, of course, is that Christ's suffering on the cross is finished. Neither Paul nor any other believer can reproduce Christ's suffering for any atoning purpose. Perhaps the first view is correct, because Paul, in the context of this chapter, went on to speak of the persecution he suffered for the cause of Christ. Suffering for Christ results in an overflowing of consolation from Christ. Suffering for Christ results in an overflowing of consolation from Christ. Here, the stress is in the form of persecution. Apart from Christ, suffering leads to despair. With Christ at our side, it leads to encouragement. So the first reason for God allows stress is comfort of others. The second reason for God allows stress is consolation from Christ. The third reason for God allows stress is Roman numeral 3, endurance of others. Endurance of others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 6 to 7, Paul related his afflictions and encouragements to the Corinthians' spiritual welfare. "And whether we be afflicted, it is for our consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for our consolation and salvation, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation." Whether we be afflicted could mean when we are afflicted. It was not a matter of probability, but of actuality. Paul was constantly afflicted. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 4 and 5 makes this clear. And chapter 11, verses 23 to 28 expands the matter even further. Paul suffered his afflictions in the course of taking the gospel to the Corinthians. Paul was being comforted. God encouraged him in his trials so that Paul could in turn encourage the saints in Corinth when they faced difficulties. Remember 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 4? Thus Paul regarded his experience as beneficial to the Corinthians. He was confident that they would partake of both the sufferings and his encouragement, and that they would therefore endure. He was confident that they would partake of both his sufferings and his encouragement, and that they would therefore endure. That's the key word. Why does God allow stress? We have examined three reasons. As we continue our study of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11, we see a fourth. Stress produces, Roman numeral 4, reliance on God. Reliance on God. A little boy was afraid of the dark. One night, his mother told him to go out to the back porch and bring her the broom. The little boy turned to his mother and said, "Mama, I don't want to go out there. It's dark." The mother smiled, reassuring at her son. "You don't have to be afraid of the dark," she explained. "God is out there. He will look after you and protect you." Little boy looked at his mother real hard and asked, "Are you sure he's out there?" "Yes, I'm sure. He is everywhere, and he is always ready to help you when you need him," she said. The little boy thought about that for a minute, then went to the back door and cracked a little. Peering out to the darkness, he called, "God, if you're out there, would you please hand me that broom?" The boy experienced stress. The boy's stress of being in the dark produces his reliance on God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 to 10, Paul related to the Corinthians a severe trial he had just recently endured. "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had a sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead, who deliver us from so great a death, and thus deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." Apparently, the full details of this incident, which nearly cost Paul his life, had not yet reached Corinth. Paul therefore informed them of what had happened to him. Apparently, the trial had occurred in Asia, the Roman province that covered the western third of what is now Turkey. Some, including Calvin, suggest that it was the riots of Demetrius in Acts chapter 19, verse 23 onwards. However, it does not appear that Paul's life was endangered by that riot. In fact, the disciples kept Paul from even going into the theater where the riot was taking place. Some commentators believe it was a nearly fatal illness that beset Paul in Asia. Still others think it was a period of persecution not mentioned in Acts. Whatever it was, Paul was pressed out of measure, above strength. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. Sometimes we feel like this too, don't we? Our trials seem more than we can bear. It's at times like this that we need to draw closer to the God of all comfort. In Paul's case, the crisis was major. Paul despaired even of life. He bore the sentence of death. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Humanly speaking, it was utterly hopeless. In Asia, Paul had learned that he could not trust in himself, but in God, which raises the dead. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Why does God allow trouble and trials to come into our lives? To lead us to rely completely on Him. The solution to our problems may seem impossible for us, but with God, all things are possible. It is better, I tell you, to trust in God than to trust in doctors. I have a very fine doctor. If you can't afford the operation, he touches up the x-rays. I went to visit another doctor with my sore foot. He said, "I'll have you walking in an hour." He did. He stole my car. Just kidding. When you are trusting in God, do be sensitive of your surroundings. Do be sensitive of your surroundings. Let me illustrate what I mean here. Bill was sitting in his house during a torrential downpour. As the floodwaters reached the bottom of his front door, some friends came along in a rowboat and called to him to climb in. But Bill said, "No, I'm trusting in the Lord. I'll be okay. I'm staying here." The rain kept coming and the floodwaters kept rising until Bill was on the second floor. And then he was soon sitting on the roof. Along came a helicopter. The pilot dropped down a rope ladder and called to Bill to climb aboard. But Bill said, "No, I'm trusting the Lord. I'm staying here." The waters kept rising, and old Bill drowned. Arriving in heaven, Bill said to the Lord, "Lord, I just don't understand it. I trusted in you, and I still ended up drowning." And the Lord replied, "Well, Bill, I don't understand it either. First I sent you a boat, then I sent you a helicopter, and you didn't take either one." So when you're trusting in God, please do be sensitive of your surroundings. God may actually be using other people to help you when you're under stress. An American astronaut lay strapped into his capsule, ready to be launched, when a reporter asked via radio, "How do you feel? How would you feel?" The astronaut replied, "If you were sitting on top of 150,000 parts, each supplied by the lowest bidder." The astronaut doesn't trust what he's sitting on, but we can trust in God as we sit upon Him as our rock. The fifth reason that God allows stress to come our way is seen in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11 says, "Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf." Trials cause prayer, which results in thanksgiving. In other words, trials cause, Roman numeral 5, prayer and thanksgiving. Prayer and thanksgiving. When Paul was going through this time of danger and suffering, the Corinthians were praying for him. Prayer does make a difference. God answered their prayers, and Paul was delivered. By the way, I've learned an important prayer principle over the years. Listen to this. People forget to pray for others in direct proportion to the frequency with which they say, "I'll pray about that." People forget to pray for others in direct proportion to the frequency with which they say, "I'll pray about that." True? I'm guilty of that myself. So let's remember to do what we say. Going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11, this last part, the last part of this verse seems more complicated than it really is. The idea is that since many people in Corinth, who were God's gift to Paul, prayed for him, there were many in turn who would give thanks to God when they learned that their prayers on his behalf had been answered. I repeat, the idea is that since many people in Corinth, who were God's gift to Paul, prayed for him, there will be many in turn who would give thanks to God when they learned that their prayers on his behalf had been answered. That's what this verse means. First reason for God allows stress, comfort of others. Second reason for God allows stress, consolation from Christ. Third reason for God allows stress, endurance of others. Fourth reason for God allowed stress, reliance on God. Fifth reason for God allowed stress, prayer and thanksgiving. The sixth reason, and probably the most important one, the sixth reason for God allowed stress is Roman numeral 6. Strength in weakness. Strength in weakness. What is strength in weakness? A man visited a psychiatrist. He explained, "I've been doing wrong, doctor, and my conscience is bothering me." The psychiatrist asked, "So you want something that will strengthen your will?" The fellow replied, "Oh, no, I'd rather get something that would weaken my conscience." No, that's not strength in weakness. That is weakness over strength. To understand what strength in weakness means, we will look at what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 10. We have letter A, Paul's revelation. Paul's revelation. Paul announced to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, I knew a man above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knows, such an one caught up to the third heaven. As we see plainly in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, Paul was referring to an event that had transpired in his own life 14 years before he wrote 2 Corinthians. This would place the event at the time he was preaching in Tarsus, before Barnabas summoned him to teach in Antioch. The stoning of Paul at Lystra in Acts chapter 14, verse 19, does not fit the time slot of 14 years ago. In describing this experience, Paul identified himself in the third person, a man, probably because he wanted to avoid any appearance of boasting. He was uncertain whether he had been caught up into heaven in body, soul, and spirit form, or whether only in soul and spirit form. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. He had been caught up to the third heaven. The third heaven. The first heaven is the atmosphere, the abode of the birds. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 25. The second heaven is the abode of the stars. Genesis chapter 22, verse 17. The third heaven is the abode of God and the good angels. Isaiah chapter 6. This, of course, only just an artist's impression. I haven't been there myself, so I don't know how it looks like. It was to this highest heaven that Paul was caught up, to the throne of God. What? In this passage, Paul also called the third heaven paradise. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. In heaven, or paradise, Paul heard things that were too wonderful to repeat. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 says, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Not only do we have Paul's revelation, we have, letter B, Paul's thorn. Paul's thorn. To keep Paul from becoming proud about his vision and revelation, God provided a special gift. Paul was given a thorn in the flesh which buffeted him. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. God's gift of stress. What was this thorn in the flesh? This question had been the subject of much conjecture. Some of the guesses are earaches, headaches, false teachers, lustful desires, temptations, an eye disorder, epilepsy, malaria, sorrow over Israel's unbelief, and the list goes on. I tend to agree with Pastor Crocker that it was an eye disorder. While the thorn itself may be unclear, the reason for the thorn is perfectly clear. God gave Paul a thorn in the flesh, lest he be exalted above measure. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. This phrase occurs twice in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. God knew Paul would be prone to pride after having received the special revelations. This thorn would keep Paul depending on God for effective ministry. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 then talks about Paul's request for removal. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Paul, as 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 indicates, did not at first understand the value and purpose of his thorn. He even asked God three times to remove it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 records God's wonderful assurance to Paul. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. In my strength, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God promises sufficient grace. God also states the divine reason for allowing the stress to stay. Human weakness is the perfect condition to display divine strength. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. That's strength in weakness. Paul then stated his revised view of the thorn in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He went on to clarify further his reappraisal of his infirmities in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. A jazz musician named Terry Paul invented a version of the cordless phone in 1965. In 1968, she sold her rights to the cordless phone to a manufacturer who modified it for practical use. However, stress levels have increased with this technology. This technology also allows multiple handsets to be used at the same time, and up to two handsets can have separate conversations with outside parties. There's a brand new invention that has been recently snapped up by people who want to relax in an atmosphere of quiet tranquility. It's the phoneless cord. Like those people who want to relax in an atmosphere of quiet tranquility, our instinctive response as believers in our fallen sinful state is to escape from God allowed stress. But thriving in stressful times requires acceptance of God allowed stress. God allowed stress results in comfort of others, consolation from Christ, endurance of others, reliance on God, prayer and thanksgiving, and strength in weakness. So may we value God allowed stress for the good it can produce. May we value God allowed stress for the good it can produce. Let's pray.